From the KERA Newsroom, I'm BJ Austin. When it comes to Christmas sweaters, ugly is the new black. We'll visit a pop-up ugly sweater shop that's getting national attention. We'll start with the latest from the Dallas School District. Early this morning, Superintendent Mike Miles lost his bid to consolidate this district's scattered headquarters into one building. The school board voted down a $28 million proposal to buy and renovate a vacant office on Stemmons Freeway.
We presented what we thought was a good proposal, and we felt like it was in the best interest of the district, not just in terms of central staff, but in terms of the cost savings that it would bring to the overall district.
That's district spokesman John DeLander. The school board voted 5-3 to reject the plan. Trustee Elizabeth Jones was present but did not vote. Opponents said fixing school buildings should be a higher priority, and some doubted whether the deal would actually save the district money. DeLander says the district had hoped to bring together 25 different administrative locations, some in old shopping malls and grocery stores. That's an idea that's now in the hands of a school task force.
That group is expected to make some recommendations in the spring, and perhaps there could be a recommendation for central staff facilities to be addressed in whatever they put forth.
The district hopes for a central place with lots of parking and plenty of space. In the meantime, the ExxonMobil Tower along Stemmons is still looking for a buyer. Last month, Susan Hawk made it through a tough campaign and made history. She'll become Dallas County's first female district attorney, and she was the only Republican elected countywide. For this week's Friday Conversation, Hawk sat down with KERA's Vice President of News, Rick Holter, to talk about her agenda, police violence, and what she regrets and doesn't about the campaign.
Susan Hawk, welcome to the Friday Conversation.
Well, thank you for having me.
It's been 6 weeks since the election, and you're 2 weeks from taking over the DA's office. What's at the top of your agenda?
The first 90 days, I plan to go down and try a case. And just getting to know the prosecutors, getting to know the staff, getting to know the investigators, and make sure that the certain divisions that are in the DA's office, that they're properly staffed, and the assistant district attorneys are getting the proper training and mentoring that they deserve.
I wonder if there's one thing you can point to that DA Watkins did that you really admired.
Conviction, integrity in it. And I plan to keep the good things that he's done because he did.
So Watkins kind of made his name nationally.
He did.
Through that. You anticipate continuing that push just as aggressively?
And he did through the DNA cases. As you know, DNA testing is very conclusive. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of cases that are pending that are non-DNA cases. There's these cases that deal with misidentification, recanting witnesses. So we need to have a protocol and those types of things into place so we can take a hard look at these cases because they're not black and white like the DNA cases. It's a gray area that needs to be looked at.
The campaign did get pretty bruising at times. Is there anything you regret?
No. My message was the same from the day I started. My message was the same when I decided to run. And the reason why I decided to run, because I was seeing that politics was determining the policy of the district attorney's office. And the people that were suffering were the victims and the community.
So you were quoted at one point when the two of you were meeting as kind of making a crack about his drinking. Do you regret that?
Oh, I do regret that. I mean, I think that, you know, looking back, of course, I do regret that. And it was a comment that if I could take back, I would, because I think, once again, we should stick to the issues and what's important. And what I regret the most is in that family violence symposium, that the questions that needed to be answered, that folks that dedicate their life to domestic violence were there to hear, and they weren't able to get the answers that they deserved. So mm-hmm. That's what I regret the most.
After Ferguson, Watkins created a separate unit to investigate shootings by police officers. What's your approach to violence involving police?
I have met with Chief Brown, Chief of Police. I plan to meet with every single chief in all the departments in Dallas County. I want to try to get all the stakeholders at the table and really take a hard look at these issues and determine what we need to do to make sure that we gain trust within the community. And I know that there will be a separate unit at the district attorney's office, prosecutor that's assigned to those types of cases, mm-hmm. and then determine what's the best solution, what's working in other counties in the country, and why is it working? And instead of reinventing the wheel, maybe trying to get that type of protocol in place here in Dallas.
I wonder how you felt when you saw that footage of people blocking I-35.
I was on I-35.
Really?
Yeah. At first, you know, when you're driving down the highway at night, you don't expect to see people walking towards you. But,
right.
you know, when I watched people walk by my car, I saw that it was a peaceful protest.
So I wonder about how much you've thought about your political future. Is there a next step past the DA's office?
I mean, from the very beginning, when I started the DA's office in 1995, I knew I wanted to be the district attorney at some point. I knew I wanted to be a judge. I didn't exactly know how all these things would come into play. But I followed my dreams as a judge, and I followed my dreams as a district attorney. I will do the best possible job to make this the most respectable district attorney's office in the country.
Susan Hawk, thanks for the time, and good luck in the new job.
Well, thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
When it comes to Christmas sweaters these days, the uglier the better. Aficionados can search for the perfect outfit at a pop-up sweater store in Dallas called, appropriately, The Ugly Christmas Sweater Shop. KERA's Eric Austin stopped by to do some shopping.
They're covered with birds and gingerbread men and evergreen trees. These are bad folks. Definitely UGLY.
We have some with bells on them. We have some with Santa's beard coming out on them. We have some where Santa's eyes move. Cats. People love cats. You know, you find that out very quickly when you sell Christmas sweaters.
That's Jeremy Turner. He's the sweater swami, the brainiac behind this pop-up shop. Turner's a 28-year-old entrepreneur. He used to sell vintage clothing out of a bus. A few years ago, a friend told him Christmas sweaters were popular, so Turner bought some, and they sold out quickly. So he bought more. Last year, he opened up his store in a strip center on Mockingbird Lane.
Ugly is for everyone. You know, it doesn't discriminate. The people of Dallas love ugly, and I'm so glad, too. So come get ugly.
Turner has sold about 4,000 sweaters so far this season. They range from $20 to $40. He's sold more than $100,000 worth this year. So where does he get the goods? Beyond the North Pole, he won't say. It's an irresistible media story. Practically every TV and radio station in town has interviewed the guy. He even made ABC a few weeks ago.
This is Nightline.
And the beauty of ugly sweaters.
Turner's far from alone. Across the country, entrepreneurs sell ugly sweaters in mom-and-pop shops. Celebrities love to wear them and give them away. Here's Jimmy Fallon.
Which means it's time for a new Tonight Show tradition. It's time for 12 Days of Christmas Sweaters. Here we go. 12 Days of
Christmas. You can buy them online at Target. Even the Dallas Mavericks have entered the sweater sweepstakes. The sweater craze reflects the changing tastes of shoppers, Wendy Liebman says. She's CEO and the so-called chief shopper for WSL Strategic Retail in New York.
It created a whole level of interest around humor, frivolity around the season, as opposed to the sort of serious intensity of gift giving.
Liebman says the ugly sweater hasn't jumped the shark. Yet.
We'll see if people have enough of those in their closet by 2016 and they've given up on it. But it's certainly got some more legs or arms, if you will.
Back at the shop on Mockingbird, Kevin Chaikin of Dallas was looking for the perfect sweater to wear to Green Hill School, where he's a senior.
So I'm trying on a light blue cardigan sweater with some snowmen all over it. I think it's pretty clearly a woman's sweater, but that doesn't bother me. I think it's pretty funny. People will remember me wearing this.
Darylyn Buggage of Arlington left the store relieved. She found sweaters covered with snowmen and Christmas trees for her sweater party.
We went to like 4 thrift stores yesterday. We went to Walmart and everything. And my friend was like, I saw this place on Facebook. And she's like, you have to go out there. So I was like, as soon as I get off work, I'm going to go because this is like my first big party. So
Al Perez sees the excitement every day at the Ugly Christmas Sweater Shop. He's the cashier. He also gives fashion advice.
Like if I see a really awful sweater and it has maybe some gold tinsel or something, I tell them to get like gold tights or something or candy cane tights and they all freak out and they're like, oh my gosh, you're amazing. So I'm pretty good at what I do.
Perez rings up another customer, a man with a forest green sweater.
Merry Christmas to you too.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, man.
Perez just made North Texas a little uglier and he couldn't be happier. Eric Austin, KERA News.
The Ugly Christmas Sweater Shop on Mockingbird is open through Saturday, December 27th. Baby, it's cold outside.